Will you join me in a moment of prayer? We thank you, Lord God, that you are alive. We don't worship a dead Savior, but one who is alive, full of life and power forever and ever and ever. How great you are. How blessed we are. Heavenly Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to speak to us through your word and by your Holy Spirit today. Give us your perspective on the things that have taken place and are now taking place in our lives and in the life of our nation. Help us, Lord, to see you clearly, to hear your voice, to respond with humility and trust and with great joy in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was intending to continue today our profiles of Paul's friends and partners who are mentioned in Colossians chapter 4. We began to look at them last Sunday. But I sensed the Lord nudging me to say something about the election today. If there is wisdom and value in what I say, it comes not from me, but from the Lord. While I have my own political convictions, I know full well that I am not infallible when it comes to politics or anything else for that matter. But God's Word, rightly understood, is infallible. As the Message paraphrases those famous verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17, every part of Scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the Word, we are put together and shaped up for the tasks God has for us. I say amen to that. 2020 has been a year like no other, and it's not over yet. In some ways, the election of 2020 has been an election like no other. Now, there have been other contested elections, presidential elections in our history. The outcome of the 2016 election has effectively been contested by President Trump's adversaries for the last 4 years. Prior to that, one has only to go back to 2000, when the election was finally settled by the Supreme Court more than 5 weeks after Election Day. Other contested elections in our history include the presidential elections of 1800, when we almost ended up with President Aaron Burr, 1824, and 1876. All of which is to say, as uncomfortable as the past several days have been, to have a closely contested election not settled on election night is not unprecedented in American history. Now, when I put this message to bed yesterday, a little before noon, there was not yet a declared winner in the presidential election. Now we know that pending the outcome of legal challenges by President Trump, Former Vice President Biden will be inaugurated as our 46th president in January. It doesn't become officially official until the Electoral College votes on December 14th. Regardless of the final outcome, every American should want every legally cast vote in every state to be counted. Additionally, we should all want no illegally cast vote to be counted anywhere. We should all want to be confident beyond a reasonable doubt that the outcome of the election is honest and just and fair, regardless of our political affiliation. It seems to me that all Americans should be in agreement about these things. Some of you may be happy or even ecstatic that former Vice President Biden has been declared the winner. You may feel a renewed sense of hope for America. You may be thrilled or just relieved that President Trump will not have a second term. Or, conversely, you may feel disappointed in the outcome or even angry. Despite the hopeful, unifying tone of President-elect Biden's speech to the nation last night, you may be fearful about the direction a Biden administration will likely lead our country. You may wonder how so many Americans could vote for the other candidate, whichever candidate that may be. You may feel frustrated. You may feel perplexed about the state of our union and the health of the soul of our nation. You may be distressed about the direction we seem to be headed as a nation. Regardless of your political viewpoint, regardless of whether you voted for President Trump, Vice President Biden, or neither, there's no shortage of things in America to be concerned about. In his Breakpoint commentary on Election Day, John Stone Street noted two opposite errors that Christians, among others, are inclined to make. The first is what the French philosopher and sociologist Jacques Ellul called the political illusion, which is the idea that politics is the most important aspect of life, and that everything of value rests on political outcomes, like who wins an election or which party is in control of Congress. As Stone Street says, the political illusion means if our guy is in office, everything's cool. If their guy is in office, everything's lost. He says to describe a particular candidate in messianic terms is to suffer from the political illusion. To describe him or her as the Antichrist is also to suffer from the political illusion. No political candidate will save Christianity or the nation, nor can any candidate irreparably harm it. No president or candidate for president is America's savior. And to think otherwise is to fall victim to the political illusion. The other error that some Christians and others embrace is what Stone Street calls the political delusion. The political delusion, which is the belief that political engagement is pointless, it's unnecessary, maybe even sinful, and that Christians should withdraw from involvement in politics and focus only on the saving of souls. To embrace this delusion is to reject our calling as Christians to be salt and light, the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and to live out our faith in obedience to the Lord Jesus in every sphere of our life here on earth. Do we need Christians to be involved in the political life and leadership of our nation? Absolutely. Do we need to be involved personally in the political life of our nation? Yes. Should we look to politics or to a particular candidate to save us or to save our nation from whatever it is we think we need to be saved? No. In fact, 1,000 times, no. Donald Trump is not America's savior, and neither is Joe Biden. I think you already know this. I just thought it might be good to say it out loud. In the days and weeks to come, until Inauguration Day next January and beyond, we need to remember where our hope lies. Regardless of who resides in the White House, Jesus is the hope of the nations and the hope of our nation. We who belong to Jesus need to remember where our unity is found. Red, blue, purple, Democrat, Republican, conservative, moderate, progressive, black, white, yellow, brown, male, female, our unity in the Lord Jesus Christ transcends every other distinctive in our lives. As followers of Jesus, we must not allow politics to divide us from one another. What unites us, our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is greater than anything else. As followers of Jesus, we need to remember also where our strength and power come from. The greatest power we have is not political. It's spiritual. Political power is real, but it's deceptive. It can easily lead you astray. It can lead you to embrace this political illusion and to put all your eggs in the political basket. Our strength and power come from our connection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength and power comes from our relationship to God. Our strength and power come from the Holy Spirit, from God with us, dwelling in us, to give us all that we need for life and godliness in this world, regardless of who occupies the White House or which party ends up controlling the House and the Senate. It is the grace and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ that make us truly strong. And we also need to remember where our to whom our ultimate allegiance belongs. In the midst of ceaseless political wranglings, we may lose sight of what or who really matters most. We may become so intent on winning politically that we temporarily forget that win or lose, God still reigns. We may become so consumed with all things political that we compromise our witness to the Lord Jesus Christ and we fail to demonstrate His love and grace in our words and actions, and the things post on social media. Instead of modeling a winsome spirit, we may allow anger, incivility, a judgmental spirit, or distortions of the truth to poison our witness. In everything we say and do, we should ask ourselves, how does this reflect the love and grace and truth of Jesus? How does this reveal the character of Jesus? How does this bear witness to the truth of the gospel? How does this reflect the greatness and glory of God? How does this express my devotion, my allegiance to Jesus? In times like this, we and at all times, we need to be careful to think and act and speak like followers of Jesus. Because that's what we are. Nothing in this life matters more than being rightly related to Him. Your identity as a follower of Jesus Christ is way more important than your identity as a Republican or a Democrat or an independent. Your identity as a follower of Jesus is way more important than whether you think of yourself as conservative or liberal or moderate. You and I are to bring every aspect of our lives, including our politics, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, because every square inch of this universe and every second of your life ultimately belongs to Him. Let me share with you a couple verses from Jeremiah chapter 17, where God is speaking to His covenant people through the prophet Jeremiah. Now, we know it's God Himself speaking because it says in verse 5, "This is what the Lord says." The Old King James Version has, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Lord proceeds to pronounce a curse on those who put their trust in human leaders or human ingenuity or human power, those whose hearts turn away from the Lord and His ways. He says that such people are like tumbleweed on the prairie, blown here and there by every blast of wind, living rootless and aimless in a land where absolutely nothing grows. Now, the language, like the language of Revelation, is poetic. It's picturesque. It's symbolic in a way. But I think you get the picture. People who trust in human structures of power or human leaders are not secure. Human leaders and their plans, their ideas come and go. Those who turn away from the Lord and His ways will not prevail in the end. And you know, this applies both to Republicans and Democrats, to conservatives and liberals. But listen to what the Lord says then in verses 7 and 8. He says, "But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They will be like trees planted by the waters that send out their roots by the stream. They don't fear when heat comes. Their leaves are always green. They have no worries in a year of drought, and they never fail to bear fruit." The Message says, "Blessed is the man who trusts Me, God. Blessed is the woman who sticks with God. They're like trees replanted in Eden, in paradise, putting down roots near the rivers, never a worry through the hottest of summers, never dropping a leaf, serene and calm through droughts, bearing fruit, fresh fruit every season." When elections are close, contested, heated, when a pandemic disrupts life as we know it and threatens to overwhelm us with fear, when those kinds of things press in against us, the Lord repeatedly reminds us that He is Lord. That God in heaven rules over all the nations, over the whole of His creation, every square inch of it. And He calls us to trust in Him, to stick with Him, to renew our trust and hope in Him day by day by day. In the midst of every setback, every disappointment, every challenge we face in this life. When we like the direction of our country, the direction in which we're going politically and morally and spiritually, and when we don't. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord. You know what? You can go to sleep in peace tonight and every night when your trust is lodged in Him. Here's what it says in Psalm 146. It says, "Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up the fallen. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over strangers. The Lord takes the side of orphans and widows. But the ways of the wicked He frustrates." You hear that? God frustrates the ways of the wicked. He will frustrate the ways of the wicked. They will not prevail against Him. The kingdom of God will triumph over all His enemies. Psalm 146 ends with this. It says, "The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord." Praise the Lord. Now, I'll be honest. I don't know if you needed to hear this message today. But I believe it's what God wanted me to say. The Lord willing, we'll return to the profiles and partnership in Colossians 4 next Sunday. But until then, and always, may we not fall prey to either the political illusion or the political delusion. But may we trust in the Lord wholly and stick with Him through thick and thin. Now and always, may God bless America. And may America, may we and all of our fellow Americans bless God. Lord, let it be so. Amen.